and Isaiah chapter 58. Exodus 20, Isaiah 58. In Exodus, we'll read verses 8 through verse 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The text in Exodus 20 is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And in that command, the Lord speaks of a day that he has set apart from the other 6 days of the week. And how we are to honor, remember, and keep that day as God intended it. The text in Isaiah, we have a promise concerning the keeping of this day that God has set apart from all other days. Now, after reading the text verses, the main subject or emphasis of the message today is not what you think it is. There's a spider there. We want to take the main thought of the message today to the time of year that we are in. In our culture, American culture, this is what is known as Memorial Day weekend, with tomorrow being Memorial Day. In our culture, this is a holiday weekend, and tomorrow is a holiday. A holiday is simply a day set apart for something specific. A day with the word memorial attached to it. Memorial Day. In other words, it is a day set apart for the preserving for the purpose of preserving the memory of something. Memorial Day. It is a day of memoriam. It is a day set aside to remember those who in the armed services throughout American history have given their lives on the battlefield. It is different than Veterans Day. Memorial Day is to remember those who have given their lives on the battlefield. Veterans Day is to remember all veterans. Quite a difference. The subject today is the Lord's Memorial Day. We just read of it in those two passages. But first of all, we want to give a history of Memorial Day. Where did it come from? What does it mean? Well, among the 34 states, in February 1861, seven southern slave states individually declared secession from the United States to form the Confederate States of America. Now, that was in February of 1861. War broke out in April 1861 when these Confederates attacked Fort Sumner in South Carolina. The Confederacy, you and I know, would grow to include 11 states and also two border states or divided states, bringing it to 13, the two divided states being Kentucky and Missouri. The Civil War would continue from 1861 to June 2nd, 1865, with 620,000 deaths. Most costly war in United States history. Most who died would have been under the age of 25. Many of them married with children. Again, the bloodiest war in United States history. I don't know how many of you watch Waters World, but I get a kick out of it. It's also pretty sad. But there was a question, who fought in the Civil War? And almost everybody asked didn't know. And it's incredible. I mean, these are college students. This is where he goes on campuses. In May 1868, again, the war ended in 1865. So in 1868, the grief and the wounds and the loss and the tragedy of the war was still very, very real throughout the country. Almost every family in the nation buried someone during that time as a result of the war. It was at this time in 1868 that General John Logan, was a national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, which basically was a Union Veterans Organization. But he wrote what is known as the General Order Number 11. And he said in that, the 30th day of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of the country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. And he called it Decoration Day. Now, on the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield gave a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. 5,000 people participated and decorated the graves. At that time were 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers. The first state to officially recognize Decoration Day was New York in 1873. And by 1890, it was recognized by all the northern states. The South refused to acknowledge the day. They would honor their dead on separate days. And that would continue until after World War I, when the holiday was officially, again, it's Decoration Day, the holiday was officially changed from honoring those who died fighting in the Civil War to honoring Americans who died in any war. So the purpose of the day had changed, was more inclusive. But it was still referred to as Declaration Day. Until after World War II, when Memorial Day became the more common name. It was declared Memorial Day by federal law in 1967. That's when it was officially declared Memorial Day. Before that, it was Decoration Day. Again, it is a day to remember. To remember over 1 million American soldiers who have given their lives in various battlefields for this country and for the cause of freedom, the freedom that you and I enjoy. It is a reminder of the high cost of the sacrifice paid for the life that we enjoy today. We, without fear of our lives, can come to a church house and worship and sing. There is a price paid for that freedom. That didn't just happen. Those freedoms were not retained just by happenchance. It's a high cost. You and I can get in our cars and drive anywhere we please. It's freedom. And we enjoy freedom. And again, a high price was paid for that freedom. We ought to be grateful. We ought to be grateful for the men and women who gave their lives for the cause of freedom. But most of all, we ought to thank God for that freedom. Because without Him, none of it would have happened. On June 28th, 1968, and I can vaguely remember, because I can remember how disturbed my dad was, Congress passed the Uniform Holiday Act. What it did was moved Washington's birthday, which was February 22nd, Memorial Day, May 30th, and Veterans Day, November 11th, from their traditional dates to a specified Monday. And you know why? And this just isn't opinion, this is fact. Those days were moved. It was to create a convenient 3-day weekend for federal employees. So again, the change moved Memorial Day from its traditional May 30th date to what it is now, the last Monday in May. Now, that bill was passed in 1968, but the law took effect on a federal level in 1969. 1971. The VFW, since that day, since 1971 and still today, has been pushing to move Memorial Day back to its traditional, to its original date of May 30th. And I ran across this and find it quite interesting. In 2002, the VFW came out with this statement regarding changing the day back to May 30th. Changing the date to create a three-day weekend has undermined the very meaning of the day. Oh, how true. And without a doubt, this has contributed greatly to the general public's nonchalant observance of Memorial Day. That's pretty true. And here we are, when a large portion of our country does not even know what Memorial Day is. The percentage of millennials that know what Memorial Day is probably getting close to 100%. And I don't mean to offend the millennials. It's just fact. And then you go a generation before that, it's not a whole lot better. And there's, I think it was a couple years ago, again, Waters World. What is Memorial Day? It was astounding. It's amazing. People do not know what the day is for. A day set aside to honor fallen soldiers and to remember the high cost of freedom. And today, that day is viewed as the beginning of summer. Summer's here. School is almost out. Day off work. A weekend to go camping. A time to grill. A time to spend time with family. The day was intended to remember soldiers who gave their lives. But that day has become something else entirely. It's no longer, for the most part, how the day is viewed. Do you know that Memorial Day is the only day in which the United States flag is flown at half staff for only part of the day? There's a reason for that. Tomorrow, in ceremony, the United States flag will be raised very, very briskly to the full staff position. And then it will be lowered very slowly to the half staff position, where it will continue, where it will remain until noon. And that is for the purpose of remembering, again, more than 1 million men and women who gave their lives for the cause of freedom. And then it is raised again to full staff position, where it remains for the remainder of the day. And those who raise it to full staff position after noon tomorrow are declaring their resolve not to let the sacrifice of over 1 million be in vain, but to rise up in their stead and continue to fight for the cause of freedom or liberty. And while all that is going on, most in this country will pay it no mind whatsoever. In fact, they won't even know what's going on. That brings us to this point. The Lord has set apart a day. Again, we read in Exodus the fourth commandment. And like the first three commandments, it relates to our relationship with and our reverence for God. The first four commandments relate to how we perceive and how we worship the Lord. The first commandment speaks of whom we are to worship. The second commandment speaks of the means of worship. The third commandment speaks of the manner of worship. In other words, not only are we to worship God, we're to do it His way. To do it the right way. And the fourth deals with a specific time of worship. It speaks of a set and regular time of worship. But in that fourth commandment, the Lord set apart every week, a day. A day for a special use. And you read the fourth commandment, man has the responsibility to keep it. To keep it set apart. To keep it as God intended it. It's our responsibility. It's the day of days. If you have 7 days and one of those days is set apart from all the others, that makes that day a special day. That makes that day the day of days. And it is not to become something other than it was intended for by God. As all our holidays have become. It is a day that is not to be used for that which is common to the other 6 days of the week. It's to be different. And from the text in Isaiah, we see that what is common to the other 6 days is to be set aside for one day. All those things we do the other 6 days is to be set aside. Why? Because they are not to interfere with God's special day. They are not to interfere with God's intention for that day. Now, throughout the Old Testament, God spoke in a very condemning way of contaminating, profaning, which simply means making common, and neglecting the day that he had set apart for worshiping and meditating upon God and the matters of God. In the Old Testament, God's special day was the sixth day, set aside by God to remember and to honor the Lord for His work of creation and His work of redemption. So even if a man is lost, that day is to be honored. The fact that God created all the things we enjoy. And we see throughout the New Testament that this day, and we're not going to go into this, it's not our purpose. Believe it or not, it's not my purpose to emphasize the Sabbath. But it was a day, the first day, became the day when God's people would come together in unity. They would come together to worship. It was a day of coming together with offerings and thanksgiving. It is the day that we read of in Psalm 118. Let's turn there, Psalm 118, verses 22 through 24. The stone which the builders refused, that's Jesus, is become the headstone of the corner. This become the headstone of the corner, which is the resurrection, is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That is speaking specifically of this day. Specifically. It is a day to honor Him. It is a day when we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. That means it is a day of special mood. You should not be in a bad mood on the Lord's day. It is a day of special mood and spirit. And if I were to render a guess, God's people are in a bad mood more on Sundays than any other day of the week. I can't prove it. I can observe it. Because the devil works. And again, that's not my point. But it is a day of special mood and spirit. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a festive day, a day of delight, a day of happiness and thanksgiving. Now again, tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day set aside in our culture to remember the men and women who gave their lives for the cause of freedom and for the lifestyle that you and I enjoy today. And sadly, through the years, because of the selfishness of man, that day, for the most part, has become something else entirely. It's not the day that it was intended to be. And through the years, that day, Memorial Day, was spent not what it was intended for. And now you have several generations that don't even know what the day is. All they know is it's weekend and they've got a day off work. Sadder still is the fact that the Lord's Day, a day intended to honor God, because of the selfishness and worldliness of mankind, has become something else entirely. For decades, the Lord's Day has been spent not for what it was intended. And today, we have a society and culture that does not even know what the Lord's Day is about. Most of God's people don't even know what it's about. When I call your attention. Again, Memorial Day is to remember men and women, soldiers, who gave their life in the various battlefields throughout United States history. But I call your attention today to the most fierce war ever fought. There's never been a greater war. The war against sin, death, and the grave. It was a war against the greatest evil. ISIS is evil. No question about it. But it's not the greatest evil that society has been faced with. The most wicked, monstrous, detestable, despicable, horrific enemy of mankind, sin. There is no one or any place on this earth that has not experienced the destruction, the devastation, the ruin, the loss, and the misery that the enemy of sin has caused. Jesus Christ alone has fought the war against sin and the forces of hell. Never has there been a war fought at greater cost or greater sacrifice. It is declared in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." In this war against sin, death and the grave, God gave His Son, His beloved Son, His only begotten Son, His Son in whom He was well pleased, His dear and holy Son. He gave Him, and He did so willingly and graciously out of love for me. He spared not His Son for me. He did so without any reluctance. He did not hesitate, giving His Son for me. And we hear Jesus say in John 10, verse 15, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus Christ, God in a body of human flesh, the holy, pure, perfect one, willingly came to the battlefield of this war, world, and willingly and out of love on behalf of the guilty and ungodly, took their sins upon Himself. And with those sins, He went to the place of punishment, suffering, and torture. Jesus Christ, with my sins upon Him, willingly and out of love, went to the place of misery and distress and sorrow. Jesus Christ, with my sins upon Him, willingly and out of love, went to the place of execution, condemnation, curse, and death. And there He bore the humiliation and the indignity and the disgrace of my sin. He laid down His life for me. Never. Has there been one more despised, more hated, more shunned, more ridiculed and mocked and scorned? And it was for me. Never has there been one who has suffered more than this Jesus who bore my sin. He gave His life for me. With my sin upon Him, He died the death of a criminal for me. Jesus, with all my sins, all the vileness and all the guilt of those sins upon Himself, was made a curse. And He endured on my behalf a deep and thick darkness, an excruciating darkness, forsaken of God on my behalf. And for me and in my place, He laid down His life. He would go to that dark and gloomy tomb and fight the demons of hell. And after 3 days and 3 nights, the very same one who laid down His life for me came out of that tomb. A conqueror over sin, death, and hell. And He did so for me. And today, Jesus Christ is more than an ideology. He's more than a concept or a theory or a creed. He's more than a story and a page of a book. He is a living, conquering Savior. And I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. And today, in the midst of all the difficulties, I enjoy the benefits of the fact that He laid down His life for me. And through all the difficulties and the obstacles and the trials and the battles and the struggles and the burdens, and in the midst of all that is crumbling, there He is, Jesus Christ, the all-sufficient, absolutely dependable and able One, the always present One. He is my Redeemer. He is my Deliverer. He is my Guide. He is my Helper. He is my Fortress. He is my Friend. And He gives me strength and confidence and assurance and peace. He's not just a creed. He is a living force. And oh, what a life is mine because of Jesus. Yes, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and we do not in any way mean to lessen the importance of the men and women who gave their lives. We enjoy freedoms today because they were willing to do so. But I also enjoy a liberty that is greater than all other liberty because of the war that Jesus Christ fought and because of the fact that He laid down his life. Jesus Christ fought the most fierce war ever fought. And he did so for me. He defeated the greatest enemy known to man. And he did so for me. He gave all for me. And throughout the history of the world, never has there been a war fought with greater love for those it was fought for than the love Jesus Christ had for our soul. Jesus Christ, out of love for my soul, became poor that I would be rich. He gave his life that I could have life. This is an amazing love. And today he lives for me. It is Jesus Christ for me. And all the unspeakable joy and gratitude that ought to overflow in our soul. Oh, how we ought to want to worship him. How we ought to want to praise and please him. How we ought to want to thank him. And oh, how we ought to want to be dedicated to him. Consecrated and set apart for him. Living our whole life for him. Giving our all, giving everything we have in his service. He gave all for me. How can I even contemplate giving less than all for him? And every single week, there is a day set aside to remember and honor him, the one who gave his life. Now, I believe that responsible parents should teach their children, because the schools aren't, should teach their children this is what Memorial Day is. Our grandchildren, they need to know. But you do not take freedom for granted. Men and women paid a dear price, and their dear families paid a dear price. But even more important than that, they must be taught what the Lord's Day means. This is a day set aside to honor him, one who gave us all things. Yet here we are today, and people don't even know what Sunday's for. They don't even know. Doesn't even cross their mind. But aren't you glad? We, of course, ought to remember him and honor him every single day. But aren't you glad that there's one day that he has set aside for that purpose? Let's be honest. It's difficult during the other 6 days with everything going on. It's difficult sometimes to look up and thank God. God's given us a whole day. He has set it aside for that purpose. Again, I am thankful. I am grateful for men and women who gave their lives for the freedom that I have enjoyed my entire life. But I am thankful for Jesus Christ, who fought the most fierce war ever fought. He laid down his life for me. And I have glorious privileges because of that fact. And today we simply want to honor him with our lives, for the rest of our lives. Honor him who gave everything. Gave more than man can give. Jesus Christ. If you're here and lost today, he's the one you need. Laid down his life. Fought a war against sin, death, and the grave. He conquered it. Can't tell you how many times, and you have too, I've walked from the graveyard rejoicing because I know Jesus Christ fought that battle. And he won. And he won. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.